This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Damian Woody, our good friend who celebrated a birthday this week. What's happening, brother? Happy birthday. Belated.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks, man. How you guys doing?
Good, man. How was the facial, man? Did the girls do your toes too?
Excuse me?
No, they were like, man, Dad, we don't roll like that. I'll give you this facial, and now you need to go there, go sit down somewhere.
Yeah, I don't love you that much. Them toes been stepped on by cleats. Probably a couple toes probably been broken. Like, nah, we ain't touching them, Dad.
Yeah, they ain't going that far. You know how them kids do it.
Did that ever happen? Like, if you're barefoot in the locker room and somebody still had his cleats on, and you just got cleated in the locker room? Either one of you?
Yeah, I mean, it's happened, but Bart's talking about, like, on the field.
In the game.
There might not be a worse pain than somebody just putting the full weight of their body on your feet with them with cleats on, man. It is, man, it's excruciating.
So just think, he had Brandon Moore next to him. Brandon Moore was like 320. Sometimes when you're trying to kick back, you kick back too fast, and like say D. Woods on the end, he got a short set, so he steps on his toes. It's like I'm gonna get you, sucker. It's like that thing start. It's like a thing got its own heartbeat.
Your bunions is going crazy.
It's like it's like ha ha. It's like you mother. It's like remember when Denzel got shot in the ass on training day.
Yeah.
Like, you mother. Jake, I need that money, Jake.
You guys think the cleat thing is bad. Steve Valiquette's a friend of mine, was a Rangers goalie, was a goalie in the NHL a long time. He tells a story about one time where he had his skates off already.
Ooh.
And in the locker room, somebody came in, they were horsing around, messing around. The guy said, still had his skates on, took a step back right on his foot.
Oh, hell no.
Cut his foot. He was out. Yeah, he was out for a while.
Wow, that could
cut his foot, bang.
No, we fighting. We fighting, man. Yeah, we fighting.
That's why I played basketball.
Worst thing ever happened to me, right? Because, like, you know, players, to contrary to belief, don't really wear cups. You know what I mean? Outside of Little League. You know what I mean? You just go out there.
Need a cup in football?
You freeballing.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of people, like in college and stuff, and like high school, you used to have to knock on your cup, show that you had a cup on. Like they used to have to go through the line, right? So I mean, we in a blitz pickup drill, right? I hit him with the L2 R2, sweetest swim move in the world. Oh, he sticks his hand out.
Did he ring the bell?
What happened to all the sunlight?
Okay, so Woody, let's get into some NFL conversation here. I want to know your take on Joe Douglas when he spoke earlier this week and the things that he did say. And you know how the Jets operate as far as their hierarchy goes. Joe Douglas basically saying that he wants it to work with Adam Gase. He wants to be here with him long term and have success. He also said that he's very much invested in Sam Darnold. Some fans were upset about hearing both of those things. What was your take?
Well, listen, first of all, you know, just everything that I heard, he sounded like a professional, you know, someone that took responsibility for not surrounding Sam with enough talent this offseason. He admitted, you know, with, you know, having regrets about not re-signing Robbie Anderson. But listen, at the end of the day, what are you expecting to say during the season? Are you expecting to trash his head coach during the season? No, you're not going to do that. I mean, it's not like he had the power to fire Adam Gase. That's an ownership decision. So, you know, he told the company line, said what he needed to say in that regard, but he took responsibility for the things that kind of lined his purview, which is, roster construction.
Now, when you look at that, like you said, he can't make the decision on the head coach, but he can make some decisions coming up. He let some players go, freed up some cap space. I mean, the fact that he was able to get a fifth-round draft pick for Avery Williamson, to me, I think is great value because he was going to be gone as well. But when you look back, and I want to turn the page a little bit to the offseason, he set himself up to have money and cap space in an environment where the salary cap is reportedly going down, and teams like Philadelphia is going to be $64 million over the cap. You talk about, you hear Bill Belichick, you know, kind of pointing the finger and not pointing the thumb about the fact that they went all in on these championships and they have no money to spend, but they do have a great right guard in Tooney. And you think about, you know, Philadelphia, you think about, you know, Ertz being available, them not being able to pay him. So do you think that, you know, it's a greater plan, and do you like where the Jets are positioned, whether Sam Darnold proves to be the one or not?
No, I like where the Jets are positioned. I think the biggest thing the Jets going to have to overcome is the perception of the franchise. You know, because a lot of people think that this is an inept franchise, that, you know, the perception is bad ownership and all those type of things. But if you look at all the parts and everything that how Joe Douglas has set things up, they're in a really good position. They got multiple first-round picks this year and, in 2021 and in 2022. I think they're going to have the most cap space of any team in the league. And, boy, like you alluded to, the salary cap is going to go down. So guess what? There's going to be a lot of teams where the credit card bill is going to come due. And they're going to have to make a lot of tough decisions as far as letting go of players that they didn't want to let go. So if you're the Jets, you're going to have an opportunity to supplement what you do in the draft with some guys that you probably didn't feel like would have shaken free in free agency.
You guys are both players who went to the Jets. Is there still that stigma of, oh, it's the Jets, and you're walking into, you don't know what you're walking into. You know, obviously, Woody, and you came from great success. Bart, you came from success in Baltimore.
Before you go there, Woody escaped Detroit, by the way. Hey, Woody, why don't you tell everybody, like, the story about when you knew you were in a different place, the first day you were there and you were watching the news, what happened to the guy?
Oh, you talking about when
dude got robbed. Dude got robbed.
Dude got robbed. He got it
in Detroit.
He was in the street. Like, the dude got shot. Robbed and got all of his clothes taken off, his shoes and everything. I'm like,
So
man,
Woody,
I'm in a different place now.
So let me tell you. So what D Wood told me, like, because I'm from Detroit. So D Wood was like, "Yo, like, he got rid of Detroit." And I think you gave money back to leave Detroit, right? You gave money back to them,
let me out,
right? Because Detroit is a more dysfunctional place. Like I said, everybody talk about Mets and Jets and stuff like that. That's nothing what I've had to endure as a Lions, Tigers, and Pistons fan, especially the new breed Lindsey Hunter Pistons fans. You know what I mean? I deserve the championship with all the pain that I had to live through. But D Wood told me, like, "Hey man, like, what's up with your hometown?" I'm like, "What you mean?" He's like, "The first day I was there, I'm watching the news, and a dude got shot in the street. And so the dude is getting shot in the street. Like, he didn't get robbed. He got shot. He's dying. And instead of people helping him, they robbed him. Like, I guess you ain't going to need this money because you about to die." That's
Detroit.
Yeah,
that's when I knew I was in a different – this is a different type of place, man. So let
D-Wood
me just
was like,
do
check,
my
please.
Thing at work and let me come home.
D-Wood was like, "Check, please. I'm out. Check, please."
Yeah.
All right, so I guess your perspective was a little bit different than me trying to compare it to you coming to. Like, you get what I'm saying, though. It's a perception thing. Like you mentioned, how you've got to change the perception of what the Jets are in the eyes of a lot of players and a lot of people around the league. They are back in that place where it's that the Jets are a circus, and if you're a free agent, you're going to have to overpay me to come play in that place.
Well, here's the thing: is like when I was a free agent and I was looking at the Jets, what you saw was a team obviously coming off a 4-12 season, but they had some building block type players that you looked at. Rickashaw Ferguson, Nick Mangold, Darrell Revis, David Harris, you know, there were a lot of players that you just looked at and said,
Dustin Keller.
they got some dogs on their team. They just don't have enough veteran players who've been in winning cultures that can supplement that. And I thought that, you know, Mike Tannenbaum and Eric Mancini at the time did a really good job of supplementing the roster. And, you know, obviously, that 1 year didn't work out as well because of Brett Favre's injury, but then Rex came in, and Rex basically just supercharged everything on steroids. And we just, you know, we went to back-to-back AFC championship games. I think the Jets organization, they just need to Joe Douglas needs to show everybody, okay, this is the plan. We got building block guys here. So when free agents look at the landscape, they say, okay, they got some pieces. I wouldn't mind playing with that.
All right, so now the other team in New York is the Giants, and they're kind of in that same place as well. And Joe Judge is trying to change also the image of the franchise, trying to do it from the inside out. We heard the Logan Ryan story and him talking about what a great organization this is becoming, how much they care. Obviously, it was what an amazing story about the trainer who advised him to get his wife to the hospital, and, of course, she's okay now from that. But when you look at the Giants, you think of Daniel Jones. And I couldn't help it. It's not Golden Tate who said it, but his wife certainly made a big deal about the fact that he never gets targeted. He showed frustration on camera. And as we're trying to figure out if Daniel Jones is the future of this team, you wonder if that's like the sort of the residual effect of having a young quarterback, is the frustration from maybe some of the talent that is around him. Is Daniel Jones a player that you think would attract players to want to play for the Giants, or make some players say, that guy's young, he's green, I don't know if I want to go there, because Golden Tate's frustration sort of suggests that it might be difficult to play with a quarterback like that?
No, I don't see it from Daniel Jones. I mean, you're talking about, first of all, like, you know, he's a reserved type of kid. He's not a rah-rah type of guy. But then on top of that, this guy is just – he turns the ball over a ton, man. That's
what I mean, though. That's frustrating if you're an offensive
player.
Yeah,
you know, it's just – you know, I think what guys are attracted to – look at where the league is right now. The league is littered with a bunch of quarterbacks that not only can beat you with their arm and from the neck up, but they can escape and do some things outside the pocket. And that's where the league is headed right now. And so when I look at the New York Football Giants, I see a team they're actually competitive. Like, they have some fire and some gumption to them. But I don't know if Daniel Jones is the guy that I would say, oh, I want to go play with that guy. That's the guy I want to be with.
But you know who that guy was supposed to be? Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley was supposed to be that guy that, hey, man, I want to go and be part of that, especially if I'm an offensive player. I got, like, a top 5 running back. And he hasn't been healthy enough to prove that. And even when he was healthy last year before he got injured, he hadn't proved that he can be, like, that McCaffrey type of 2,000 yards of productivity, or, you know, all-purpose yard to 1,800 yards all-purpose that he showed us the flashes of his rookie year. I don't see that player anymore. So he was supposed to be the player that was supposed to attract the high-priced players, because he was supposed to be the face of the league. Like, he was supposed to be the face of the league. He was supposed to be Alvin Kamara. He was supposed to be the all-world, all-purpose, catching it, receiving it, all that stuff. And I think that's where it's been let down. Kind of to circle back to your original question that you asked Damon, the reason I came is because what I saw is I saw the team that was, I thought was the best team in the NFL at 9-7. Then Brett Favre tore his pec or whatever, bicep, wherever he tore, and I saw them go down. The game, what made me want to come here is when I saw what they did to Tennessee, who was considered like one of the best teams in the league at that time, and they put a physical beat down on them. I was like, oh, they got some.
Yeah, they, I mean, listen, that during that 2008 season, you got to remember, we played the Patriots on the road, beat them. Then the following week, we went down to Nashville and played a 10-0 undefeated, right, Tennessee Titans team.
And then we laid the
beat down on them. So, you know, we were rolling, and then, you know, then Brett Favre gets hurt in practice, and that basically derailed the whole season. But, you
but
know,
that's why I came. But that's why I came, because I saw they got you and Fanica one year and Calvin Pace and drinking. So I was like, yo, add me to that, it's going to be even more. And plus, Rex was coming to believe in it. So what the Jets have to do, they have to have that stabilizing offseason where they say, man, this team is solid. And I wonder what it would have been, because you thought that maybe last year was that year at 7-9, how they end the season. Mm-hmm. But the fact right. that you haven't had Perriman healthy, Mims haven't been available,
CJ
Crowder hasn't
play.
Been available, CJ right. didn't play, Jamal is gone.
Right.
So now it's like, well, this team has moved back from the 7-9 that they were. They need another year where they can show next year that they are that 7-9 team, and they're going to have to overpay a little bit like they did for paying you and paying Alan Faneca and paying Calvin Pace to come in. He has to get his core four, his Amari Stoudemire, so to speak. Okay, it's safe to go to the Jets now because they got some fundamental pieces, and you guys were the ones who took the L. The four-win season is a year when you took it on the chin because you could see in the future. Some guys can't see the future, and they have to only live in the present.
Yeah, man, listen, the Jets got to – the number one thing they have to do is they got to go out here and hire a head coach who's a leader of men, someone who's going to help change the identity of the organization, because right now it's just a perception out there, you know, around the National Football League that it's just negative. It's just negative. So they need to bring somebody fresh, new, who can, you know – change that culture, man. Like, just the way the Rex came in and changed the culture, the Jets need someone, as far as the head coach is concerned, to do something similar as far as changing the culture here.
Now, Woody, before we let you go, appreciate the time as always, of course. I do have to ask you about another one of your former teams, and that's what's happening in New England with Bill Belichick. And Bart said that Bill Belichick, the GM, should be fired. Not the head coach, but the GM, that he hasn't done a good job there. Bill has said that, well, you know what? The reason why our team's where we are right now is because we sold out and went for championships, and now we've got a bunch of young players. We've got the cap situation the way it was, and this is the price we paid for the winning that we had there. Is this kind of the end for Belichick in New England? Are the Patriots ever going to be what we remember them being, the dynasty that one of the franchises in the league you look at and think every year they're always there? Is this pretty much the end in your eyes?
Well, listen, I, first of all, I would say I think there's some truth to both Bart's statement and Bill's statement. And as far as the dynasty is concerned, I don't know if we'll ever see a run that the Patriots had for 20 years. I mean, that run was just unprecedented. Go to 9 Super Bowls and win 6, and you know all the consecutive, AFC East titles, and that's just going to be hard to replicate. But I'm not going to sit here and write the Patriots off, because this is a team that's going to have a bunch of a cap space next year, and they're going to be able to reload. You know, there's questions about whether Coach Belichick can draft and develop certain positions. You know, wide receiver being one of them, but he'll be able to put together a team next year and moving forward.
So this is what I want to talk about, and I know you got to go, and I appreciate how gracious you've been with your time. But, you know, from former players that we know, whether it was former Ravens that I know that went to New England, or whether it was former Jets that went up there and played, when they were winning, it was horrible to live there and go and practice there and work there. It was always a tough environment to kind of work through, and they said that they didn't enjoy it. With all the losing going on, I can only imagine that it's not going to be that way. So a lot of veteran players used to come there and take less money because they wanted to be able to add a Super Bowl to their resume. And they knew that no matter what, with Tom Brady there, it was a reservation for at least the AFC Championship, definitely a divisional championship. And I just wonder, without those reservations being a guarantee, will Bill be able to get the talented players like Burkhead, like Stephon Gilmore, those type of players, like whether it was Howie Long, to come there and take less because they have an opportunity to win because they don't have the answer at the quarterback position?
Well, listen, I think people around the league, a lot of players, first of all, number one, money is always going to talk, okay? You know, no one's going to take a huge discount to go anywhere, particularly the Patriots, especially with Tom Brady moved on to Tampa Bay. But I will say this. I think people recognize the greatness of Coach Belichick and his ability to get certain players and have them buy in to specific roles. And so, listen, the Patriots had a bunch of guys who opted out, particularly on the defensive side of the football. They're talent deficient on offense, particularly at the skill position. But again, they're going to have a bunch of cap space. They're going to have draft picks. Bill knows how to maneuver the draft and all those type of things. They'll be back. They're not going to go away. This the evil empire will be back. Will it be in the 20 years run that the Patriots have had as far as the dynasty is concerned? I don't know about that, but they'll be back competing again.
Woody, great to talk to you, my man. Thanks for the time. Enjoy the rest of your week.
All right, take it easy, guys.
Give you updates when we can on the voting process as the votes are continue to be counted. So this is via Bloomberg as the Nevada election results, as more results have been made public. Now, these aren't final results, but just more. And basically, it's Biden's lead has grown from the latest batch. Not tremendous. I think from 7,000 to a little over 12,000. It's still 49.5% in his favor in Nevada versus 48.5% to the president. So still incredibly close and still unable to really predict anything at this point. And of course, there's also going to be more for this. This if anybody remembers 2000 when Al Gore had that issue in Florida, that carried into December. So, you know, when you're thinking about how this will be over by the weekend or how soon we need to know. Just understand, this is going to be a bit. We're not going to know anything for some time. And just, again, remember 2000. That went into December
but
before they finally put a stop to it, and they just went forward with George Bush.
See, but the crazy thing with that, that was one county, right? That determined, you know, the winner of the presidency. But if you lose the other ones, then it becomes a moot point, right?
What I'm saying is, though, there's going to be a lot of questions about how these ballots are being counted, which ones were being accepted. There's a lot of questions about the process that are going to be brought up, and there'll be a legal process to look into it. There'll be recounts. Yeah. I mean, this will be runoffs. We're not going to know this. We're not even going to know the House. There's going to be runoffs in Georgia that's going to take in probably into January.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, this is not going to be an overnight thing, which a lot of time the election is. It's not going to be that way this year. It's going to be a while, and there's going to be a lot of anxiety and a lot of frustration, and the only thing you can do is let the process work itself out. Nobody likes to say that. Nobody likes to let the process work out, but hey, that's what we got to do. You got to let the process work itself out. It will. Your vote's already in. You've already done your part. Now you have to wait and see and let the process work itself out and trust, obviously, in the system, which you hope you certainly can. All right. 800-919-3776 is the number. So let's get to audio files. We got really good stuff here on the Jets' injuries, including Sam Darnold. So let's go.
The audio file.
Let's go to that right away. Adam Gase. Now, today, let's see. Before we get to the Darnold stuff, Quinnen Williams, who, you know, had the hamstring issue, left the game early or left the game late in that game after he played really well against Kansas City, has not practiced, did not practice today. Kind of wait and see for Monday's game against the Patriots. They're going to really miss him. Bashaud Perriman, I mentioned, concussion protocol. He's taking the next stage of it now. He's going through a light practice. Jameson Crowder, who has the groin issue, didn't practice, but there's still some hope that maybe he will tomorrow. Dowell Loggins, in case anybody cares, will be the play caller once again. All right, but the biggest question is, Adam Gase, how's Sam Darnold and what's his status?
What are his chances of playing on Monday?
Right now, I feel pretty good about it. It's just going to be about if something doesn't feel right, you know, when we do get him out there. I think his mindset is, you know, it'll take something not feeling right for him not to play. You know, we just felt like this was a chance to give him one more day of rest. Being able to do the third down red area stuff is, you know, something that we always want to make sure that he feels really comfortable with, which that'll be the next couple of days. So we'll kind of see what happens after today, how he's feeling.
Yeah. So, Bart, you think he's going to play Monday? He's going to take a lot to take him out of the lineup, but there are some people that feel like if he's not 100%, maybe he shouldn't.
No, he'll play. It's fine. Like, you have to understand what the practice schedule is. Like, when you get to this point in the season, your veterans usually that are banged up, they usually only practice once a week, or sometimes they only practice on Friday. So understand that the game is actually Monday, so really today is Wednesday. Wednesday is just a kind of day to, you know, get flush everything, got to get moving over again. Thursday, it's a short yardage red zone day. And then Friday is like a modified, like, rehearsal where it's not a physical day at all. You're just running around. You're going through your scripts and your situational football. So tomorrow would be actually Thursday for the guys, and that's more importantly for like some of the younger guys. If you're a younger guy, to really set your pads. But a guy like Crowder just has to be available for Friday, which is Saturday this week. So if you hear guys not practicing on Saturday, pretty much they're out.
Okay, so Saturday's there to keep an eye on. Yep. All right, so Sunday night's game is a big one. Saints Bucks once again. They met, I believe it was opening night. Now, here's the thing. The Bucs are going to look a lot different, not just because Tom Brady really looks like he's in a groove, but Antonio Brown now is part of the weapons that Tom Brady has to his avail. Antonio Brown is getting his second chance. This is about his third chance at this point, and he talked about getting that chance.
I'm extremely grateful to be here with such great organization, to be around some great players. For me, you know, first and foremost, being away from the game a year and a half, just to see to be able to be a part of the process and be out there with the guys today was surreal. Something I don't take for granted. You know, something I have a great appreciation for, a better perspective about, and a lot of gratification to do what I love, man. You know, it's a blessing.
Is this his last chance? Does he have to make this work?
Oh, he has to. He has to. I mean, he's a guy that's 32 years old, but he's a workaholic. He's a guy that can play at a high level for the next 4 or 5 years. You talk about Larry Fitzgerald and how old he is, still playing. Yeah. You know, you talk about Antonio Brown. He's still quick. You know, he's still fast. He's still elusive. He's still a guy that's, I believe, as soon as he comes back to the league, you have to elevate him to the top five receivers. You know what I mean? That was his crown, and other people took it. It's like when the champ, you know, vacates the title because he can't make weight, or he decides guys to go move up and wait, and all these guys are fighting for his spot. But make no question about him. He's the Marvin Harrison of our era. You know what I mean? He's the Isaac Bruce, Torrey Hart of our era. You know what I mean? And him coming back makes him a legitimate threat, because he's going to, if he can play in that slot, which is something that he did early in his career, how are you going to put your third receiver on Antonio Brown in a slot where you can't even jam him, when he gets to come off and get whatever release he wants? Like, it's going to be a problem, and it's going to be different because the Saints took advantage of the Bucs early on because they were just learning how to play with each other. Now they kind of got an idea of how they want to play. It's going to be a small adjustment period when they decide to go put Antonio Brown in, because they got to learn how to fit him in and not mess up the flow of the offense. But, man, when they start figuring it out and getting it together, I don't see any other team, not even the Pittsburgh Steelers, not the Seattle Seahawks, who are more complete from a talent perspective and balanced on both sides of the ball, with the ability to have players who can take over the game outside the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Is there ever a more maddening player in the league that you just want to grab him and say, look at all the talent you have? You could be, just keep your head right. Keep
Josh Norman. Right. Yeah, Josh Gordon.
Josh Gordon, yeah. Yeah, I don't even think we really even got, like, at least Antonio Brown, you saw how good he could be.
Yeah.
Josh Gordon is the guy you got a tease of it, but never really got to see it.
Dude played 10 games and led the league in receiving at 1,400 yards. Right. Like, who did, on Cleveland, when I don't even know who the hell was throwing him the football.
Right, random quarterback. It's amazing. All right, last but not least, you, in the past, Steelers-Cowboys would be one of those games, right? Like, I mean, obviously the 70s, 80s, like, Steelers-Cowboys used to mean something.
Had some sizzle.
Now, man. Steelers are 7-0. Dallas is 2-6.
Ooh, what's the spread? What's the spread on that?
Right now,
20?
It's at 14.
Okay. I might take that.
At Jerry World, the Steelers are given 14. At Jerry World. That is poor. Now, a lot of people are starting to talk about Dallas and saying, you know what? Dak is hurt. Your team's a mess. Your defense is bad. It's such a mess. You should tank and get the highest pick you possibly can and, you know, kind of reboot this thing and worry about the 2021 season. How do you think Jerry Jones responded to that?
Could you make a decision to play a younger player more, or a player that you're going to be pretty firm that you're going to be going forward with in contract-wise than a different situation? And the answer is, I can see that. Yeah, I can see making sure that you get these guys those reps. The only way to have and get better in the NFL is for reps, and game reps are precious, hard to come by, and you don't get them by just that issue if you're sitting there competing for the championship. So I think you'd see more young players. May should be doing it anyway.
Does it sound like Jerry is ready to pull the plug and
white flag,
go Tankeroony?
Well, Tankeroony, they're tanking without him trying to. So,
fair point.
I mean, that's not hard to do. I mean, you look at, you know, like Diggs last week, you know, he had been, you know, taken advantage of a little bit. You know, he's a young player. He had two interceptions just last week. That shows some promise for him, not getting beat over the top, making plays on the ball. I just think, you know, really the problem with them is you have to make some real decisions this offseason too. What do you pay Dak? Do you franchise him again? And if you are in a position where you're a top five pick, do you go for Justin Fields or the kid from North Dakota, who would basically be equivalent to you taking Dak Prescott in the fourth round? Like a guy that, you know, if Dak's not back right, you already have Andy Dalton under contract. Now you have an opportunity to say, hey, well, we'll franchise you again, Dak, but then this guy, if he shows promise, we're going to let you walk. Gives you more options, because next year, you know, you got to make decisions on Tyron Smith. Lionel Collins is coming up. You already paid him, but your defense is so horrible. I don't care how good your offense is. You got to be able to stop somebody.
It's going to be interesting to see what that looks like the rest of this year. But if you're Mike McCarthy and you're that team, you get Dak back, you get him healthy, and you get a couple of assets like high draft picks, could be interesting. Could be interesting how you could turn that thing around. That division is obviously a mess. Eagles are going to have to cut a lot of people to get under their cap situation. The Giants are young, and Washington is young. So it's not like if you scorch a year, it's not going to cost you that much other than the year, which, oh, by the way, it's already a bad year. Yeah. So keep an eye on the Cowboys the rest of the season. And, you know, if they go that route, you always want to bet against them, right? Keep an eye on those spreads. Again, it's 14-14 with the Steelers, and you're at home.
Wow.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
We made money last night, baby, on the Mac. That was fantastic. I mean, I know Buffalo got a little precarious there at the end, but I told you that running back, he's a beast. Jared Patterson, he can fly. I mean, he went for 56 yards, took it to the house. It was unbelievable.
They
had that. And I mean, Akron is so bad. Did you see the punter? They snap it to the it goes. I mean, it missed the punt. It missed the punter by about, seriously, 15 feet to the right. He had to go chase it at the end zone, and then he just made one of those throw in the air and just drop kick it.
Yeah.
Like, what a mess.
You know,
so
you
that
know,
worked
like,
out.
If you play for Akron, man, you know what it is. Like the closest I've ever come into a fight, like in the last couple of years, was you know, I used to work out at this place called Test. You know, a lot of guys come from there, whatever, in the New Jersey area. You know, Ray Rice, Joe Flacco actually trained there. But anyway, it was a guy there that was there that came back, and I was like, damn, what happened? He's like, you got cut. He's like, yeah, man, I got cut. I said, man, you know how sorry you got to be to get cut by the Raiders?
That's so bad.
I said, you know how sorry you got to be to get cut by the Raiders? So he tried to fight me. I was like, listen, no, let him go. But you got to be horrible to get cut by the 32nd team in the league at that time. So if you play for Akron, you can't get a scholarship and you're a high school football player out there, then you just need to shut it down, man. You can't play for them.
That's what I mean. It's Akron. It's at least it's D1. I mean, at least they have that. That game, by the way, Western Michigan was basically laying 20 in that game. The final score was 58-13. Was it ever in doubt? Now here's all right. So let's put the team together for tonight. Our daily fantasy. J Dub put this together. This is a good one, and I know you're going to have an input on this. So Aaron Rodgers, your obvious MVP in this game, right? Coming off a loss, he's going to be pissed off. Devontae Adams would be one of your wide receivers, of course. Now, Jerick McKinnon, to me, and I'll tell you right now, the Niners have major issues wide receiver. They've got COVID on that team, and they got a bunch of guys that aren't going to be available. You know Jimmy G's not playing. Yeah. They're going to have to run the ball, and to run the ball against the Packers, Bart, would probably be a good move.
Exactly. It's like running through like a paper bag. That's how easy it is. That's a level of resistance.
Now, Tyler Irvin's another guy on the other side because I don't think Jones is available, right? So you'll go with him on that side. And then Nick Mullins is your starting quarterback for the Niners. So that's our team we're putting together. Now, here's what I want to ask you. As I just mentioned, they've got a bunch of players not available for tonight's game because they've had a bit of COVID on the team, right?
Yeah.
So
Trent Williams out.
Trent Williams is out. That's the left tackle. Brandon Ayuk is out. Deebo Samuel's out as well. They've had injuries, as we know, on the defensive side of the football. So we knew that already. But just looking at this game, Green Bay coming off the ugly loss, they are a team now to watch in this game, right? Because it's a 7-point spread. Now, I know it's Thursday night. I know it's a short week. But it's 7 points. Would you take the Packers in this game? Now, home underdogs, by the way, on Thursday nights in the last three seasons are 10-5 against the spread. And the Niners are obviously the home underdog here.
Yeah.
But and the Niners are a wounded animal. They have played very well when they have the worst of times, as we've seen what they did to the two New York teams.
And they're at home. They're at home.
And San Francisco, by the way, 7-1 against the spread as an underdog since 2019. Don't overlook that.
This is tough because their kryptonite is getting – Green Bay's kryptonite is getting punched in the face. You know, and – I just
seven
I,
points, I, Bart, on a Thursday night with Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron gonna be all right, man. But Aaron don't have anybody to run the ball either because he's got a bunch of injuries at the running back position.
Yeah, Irvin's gonna be the guy they have to go to. There's no Lazard, obviously, but he still has Adams.
Yeah, that's tough,
now
man.
Now here's the other question on this game because again, both defenses, as you've mentioned, Packers defense is not good. Niners defense is banged up. The line is 48.5. The over-under. It's a Thursday night. Aaron Rodgers is throwing. Do you take the over? Do you think it could go over? Well, with Nick Mullins, the other side won't be able to make up the difference.
But the crazy thing is, we've saw Nick Mullins come in and kind of put up points. But
they don't have anybody. Who's he throwing to?
No,
Kittle's
running game.
Hurt.
No, remember, their running game is their explosive plays.
Fair point.
So that,
all right, let's call it. Call it. Let's just call it. We're not going to add this to our picks this week, but let's just call it anyway for the hell of it. Call it. You taking him or not? Taking the seven or not? You laying the seven or taking the seven? Quick.
I'm taking the seven, Green Bay. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you're laying the seven, though. You're taking Green Bay and the seven. I'm going to take Green Bay and lay the seven as well. Let's see what happens. Let's do it for fun. We have our daily team. We did our picks. We're going to do our regular picks tomorrow, of course, as we go through week nine, amazing, of the NFL. But until then, Bart, this was a lot of fun as always. Talk to you tomorrow.
Ahala.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.